Hey guys, welcome back to the 16th episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I am here with my co-host, Frank Todd. Frank, to start the day today, we have some huge news.
Huge, huge news.
NCAA football, the video game is back.
Dunna, dunna.
I am so mad about this. I am so happy, but kind of so mad. Because I never got to play that game, like a new NCAA football game, in my college career, and that pisses me off so much.
I still have an Xbox. First of all, not still. Last year, so 20. Sorry, last not last calendar year, last school year, my junior year, I bought a Xbox 360 from a local store in Bloomington, just so I could play NCAA football.
NCAA football 14 is the one with Denard Robinson on the cover is iconic. It's so
I only bought 13 because it was like $50 cheaper than 14. I was like, fuck
no,
it.
No, 14 was honestly a stock. Like if you like bought it and you held it for a long time, I'm sure you can be buying those for a ton of money.
Oh yeah, you can resell them for a lot. But I mean, dude, it was 13. I have a fucking huge dynasty with Indiana. We're the top team in the nation.
Okay, I have a quick quiz for you. Let's popcorn as many NCAA football cover athletes as we can.
Oh, I don't remember any. Okay, the only other one I remember besides Denard Robinson is Tebow.
So no, Denard Robinson, Tebow. I'm just gonna quiz myself. I'm not looking at it. Let's see. We have Robert Griffin III.
Oh yeah, I forgot about RG3.
We have Reggie Bush in like NCAA football 2007. We had a Texas. There was a Texas guy. There was Ricky Williams on there at some point.
Vince, what's the quarterback I'm thinking of? Vince Young.
Vince Young. Vince Young. He was like NCAA 2006. Mark Ingram was on it. I remember that he was like NCAA football like 2012. I remember that. God, who? I'm trying to think of – I think how I can think of it is I'm trying to think of teams that have been on there and then move back. And
okay. I think if you're forgetting one, the Baylor cover with RG3, there was a second player on the cover.
That was Ricky Williams.
No, I think it was Barry Sanders.
Oh, it was Barry Sanders. Oh, you're right. There was another with Ricky Williams.
We got Mark Ingram Jr., which was 12. So we're missing 11.
So we have Tebow. I don't know what Tebow was. Tebow might have been 12. No, he was earlier than that.
Tebow was really early. So we have 13 done, 12 done. We don't have 10 done. We don't have 9 done. We don't have 10, 11. Wow, there's a lot of them.
Okay, I gotta look. I'm looking right now.
I just Googled it. There are like 4 different covers a year. We were never going to figure this out.
I'm looking right now. NCAA football cover athletes from CBS Sports. This is
Daniel,
very interesting.
I should you know, I'm looking at one on Ranker. There's 1, 2, 3 different covers from 2010 alone. 4 different covers from 2010 alone.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to start from 1998 and move back. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I was born ready.
Oh, born ready. So, oh, my God. The first NCAA football cover athlete was Nebraska quarterback Tommy Frazier. 98 was Danny Werfel.
Danny Werfel, Jesus Christ.
99 is Charles Woodson.
Okay.
2000 was Ricky Williams. I don't know how I knew that. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. This is actually a really good question. So, you know how there's, like, sometimes sports trivia questions?
Yeah.
Who is the only athlete to cover Madden and NCAA football?
Oh, I'm trying to think of who's gonna be.
This is so obscure.
No, I mean, again, it depends on how if you go as the solo cover or the not, because Barry Sanders has been on the cover of Madden's before, and he was on a cover of NCAA with RG3.
I guess that could be one, but there's one who is the main athlete, who is the absolute main athlete, like Like only cover, like the primary cover
Give
that you
me a
see.
year. Give me a year to get a year for NCAA to give me some help.
2001.
2001. God, who could that be? Because I was thinking someone like a Carson Palmer at first.
No, Palmer was never the Madden cover
So,
athlete.
2001, where NCAA probably would have been an 03 or 04 Madden
No,
cover.
it was like 2007 Madden, I believe. So I know I had the game.
07 Madden was Sean Alexander.
It is Sean Alexander.
Dude, I
Sean
can.
Alexander was the 2001 cover athlete.
Listen, I'm not a big video game guy. I don't play a lot of Call of Duty. I don't play any of that shit. I play
Yeah, I don't play it either.
Maddens. I play NCAA footballs. I play MLB The Shows, and I play FIFAs. So I know these cover athletes very well.
I think the only game that like I actually played that's not sport related is Grand Theft Auto. And mainly I just
Okay.
played that to play tennis.
Yeah, I mean, I play Grand Theft Auto. I play games like Grand Theft Auto and Fall Guys when I'm drunk, but.
Yeah. Okay, I'll finish it off. 2002 was Chris Wankie. 2003 was Joey Harrington. Never heard of him before.
It's a random
2004 was
one.
Carson Palmer. 2005 was Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, that's a sick one.
2006 is Desmond Howard. 2007, this is the first video game I ever had was Reggie Bush. 2008, which I believe is the absolute best NCAA football game, was Jared Zebranski. And then in 2009, there were four. Deshaun Watson, Deshaun, not Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Jackson, Matt Ryan, Owen Schmidt, and Sparty. Sparty was the Wii cover, and the Xbox 360 version was Darren
Interesting. So there's a good turnover of NFL players right there.
Let's see. Next ones we have
All right.
2010. I want to finish this
Guts.
off. I want to finish this off. There's like four more. 2010 was Brian Oropku, Utah quarterback Brian Johnson, USC quarterback Mark Sanchez, and Texas
Butt
Tech wide
fumble.
receiver Michael Crabtree.
Crabtree. Yeah, that was an obvious one.
2011 was Tim Tebow. 2012 was Mark Ingram. 2013 was Robert Griffin III, and then Barry Sanders, and then 2014 was Denard Robinson.
So what I was going to say a second ago is, here's a little idea. When I get back to Bloomington, we're going to have a Drop a Deuce podcast, NCAA 13 Dynasty competition, and we're going to post
Live
highlights.
stream.
Yeah, we're going to
I want an
live.
NCAA football live stream. We're gonna, guys,
We're
we
going to
are now
stream
making
it,
a
and we're going to
YouTube
post
channel.
highlights like YouTube, TikTok, social media. We're going to have a dynasty. We can each pick a team who equally suck, besides for Indiana, because we both that would be unfair.
Wait, so what year? 2014?
No, I have the RG3 Denard Robinson. I have the
2013? Okay.
RG3 Barry Sanders cover, so 13.
Who would your team be? Are we gonna go absolute like shitty teams?
Yeah, if I was going to pick a shitty team, I would probably have to look for someone who sucks in like the Pac-12. So maybe in this game, I think Wazoo, or no, Wazoo's in the Pac-12 yet in that
Is
game.
Cal horrible?
Probably Cal's not a bad one I would pick. Or someone like BC.
I might pick Northwestern.
I mean, I figured you'd pick Northwestern. That's what I was thinking outside the Big Ten.
Okay, outside, you said outside of Indiana. Outside the Big Ten, I would go Kansas.
No. I was thinking outside the Big Ten, just so that way we don't always play each other every fucking week.
Yeah, you're right. I might go Kansas. I want to stay Power Five because we could always go like Youngstown State.
Well, that's why I was thinking BC, because they're an ACC school post Matt Ryan era, so they're not going to be very good.
Louisville was not. Oh, what about the Big East? The Big East is still in that game, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh, throwback.
We're so
Before the
we're gonna
American
discuss this
Conference.
off camera, but we have a good idea here. I think we gotta jump right in to talking some Super Bowl.
All right, so we're recording twice this week, guys. So the title of this episode is going to be Super Bowl Special Part One. And of course, because more news will come out throughout the week. And Frank, biggest Sunday of the year, even more big than Easter, controversial take.
So, Daniel, I'm going to jump into the hard-hitting questions right off the bat for the Super Bowl
I'm not
here.
ready for this. I'm
Sorry to
not
interrupt
ready for
this.
this.
What color will the Gatorade shower be? What color are you betting this year, Daniel?
Orange.
Orange is a good bet. So here's what I was thinking. You can tell me what you're. This today we're gonna do more of an overview of the game and an overview of everything. Now, speaking in our next episode, we only talk the Super Bowl, we only talk the football, and that covers the most obscure random prop bets.
Prop
Like,
bets. I think we need a prop bet special. I think here
I think
the
that'll be part
this
of our next
yeah.
episode, you know?
I think that's gotta be the entire episode. I think our first I think so this episode's gonna be more previewing the game, previewing certain matchups, and then obviously other sports, other big events going on. But I think next time we gotta have some fun. We gotta have the most obscure prop bets no matter what.
Oh,
Also,
I already have the most.
tails never fails, by the way.
Oh yeah, I did bet that in. What game did I bet that in recently? Was it the national champion? I did bet that in the national championship game.
Jesus. All right, well,
Tails never
okay,
fails.
so hard hitting questions. Let me hear them.
So here's the question to start off with. In actuality, who do you think's gonna win?
Who do I want to win or who do I think's gonna win? Like, who am I
Fit.
rooting for?
Yeah, who are you rooting for?
I'm gonna get hate here. I love the Tom Brady story. Tom Brady can absolutely secure his pedestal atop of the GOAT, atop of the GOAT pyramid as the absolute GOAT if he wins this game. I think no matter what Patrick Mahomes does the rest of his career, no matter what Aaron Rodgers or Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence, if you win seven Super Bowls with two different teams and you switch, you secure the GOAT. You doesn't matter. Tom Brady does not lose.
So here's the thing. I agree with that, but I want them to lose this year because I really don't like Bruce Arians and I want him to be put in his place a little bit. He's been so obnoxious this year with his quotes like, oh, Tom Brady left New England because they didn't let him coach. That just is not true. Tom Brady definitely was a huge part of coaching the offense and a huge part of player personnel. He left because it wasn't a good fit. He wanted to be away from Belichick and prove he was the reason why. And two, because there was no fucking offense there, because they have no cap space. They tied it all up in the defense. And so I don't like Arians because the quotes he's been making, so I don't want them to win.
I want the Buccaneers to win because I called them to win the Super Bowl early on. Early on. Back in like week five, they were struggling. Like, this is such a good team. They're gonna get their act together and end up playing well.
I mean, this was my Super Bowl prediction. Once the Bucs signed Brady, I thought,
It
okay,
has to
this.
be, yeah. I thought I in the AFC Championship, I thought the Bills kind of stunk it up, but
They
maybe that
didn't.
maybe that's kind of just because the Chiefs are that good.
I think Allen just struggled, but I think that next year, the Bill, depending on what happens in free agency and the draft pending. And injuries, honestly, I think that it's the Bills to lose. They're a very strong team. They weren't ready for the moment yet because they hadn't been in that moment yet.
Bills
Josh
gotta get
Allen
a
hadn't
defense.
played in a
Bills gotta
playoff
get a
game.
defense. Bills gotta get a running back and some actual defensive presence. So maybe fire your defensive
I
coordinator and
think they
get
need to
someone who's
get
actually
more
real.
consistent on defense because the defense looked good against the Ravens. There were times it looked good. They just need to be more consistent.
The Ravens have always struggled in the playoffs. That's the issue. So the rate, I don't think Lamar Jackson's gonna win a Super Bowl simply because he doesn't have the arm talent. And once you get older, if he was gonna win a Super Bowl, it would have been early on. So like maybe I think he has maybe one more chance. But once you get older, you start to lose that ability to run, and his throwing form's horrible. He can't toss the ball down the field 30 yards consistently on a dime.
Well, I think their offense will be a little better next year because of personnel changes. I think he's either the QB or the wide receiver coach who got hired to be the Texans head coach. And I mean, statistically speaking, he's one of the worst QB coaches slash wide receiver coaches of all time. He was the Chiefs offense wide receiver coach the 1 year their wide receivers didn't have a touchdown for an entire season. And he was the QB and wide receiver coach of the Ravens this year when they had the worst passing offense in the NFL. So I do think they'll get a little better, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking the Super Bowl. And I think that this is the Chiefs to lose because they're just such a good team.
Also, are we completely forgetting that this is a home game for Tampa Bay?
No, we're not forgetting that. And I mean, I think it's a big
That's a
factor.
huge advantage. That is a massive advantage.
But the problem is, we're betting on the fact that Leonard Fournette isn't going to regress to what he's been all year. He hadn't had a good year to the Super Bowl, and then he popped off. We're betting that Gronk is going to get open in the Super Bowl when he didn't all year. And we're betting that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin can get open. And that's
Well,
the problem.
also, this team had no identity until week six. This team was lackluster. They were, so you know, I think the best way I can describe it is in doubles in tennis, you either are a doubles team or you're basically just playing team singles, you know? So if you're playing either like nobody, there's no real communication, nobody really knows what's going on. For the first 5 weeks of the season, they were out of sync. They were playing team singles, and then eventually they start to get in a rhythm and get control of who they are and understand their identity. And that identity is sometimes you have, it gives so many egos on this team. You need a quarterback like Tom Brady to kind of back it up and be and allow everybody to trust him. And I feel like the
Yeah, that's
trust for
true.
Tom, I feel like the trust for Tom Brady has immensely improved since the beginning of the year. And in a Super Bowl, none of these players have been in a Super Bowl except for Gronk and maybe Antonio Brown. Wait, has Antonio Brown have been in a Super Bowl? I don't think so.
Don't think so.
So there are two players on this team who have been in a Super Bowl that I know of, like the big names. There might be some reserves or whatever. I'm not don't absolutely quote me on that. But it's going to be Gronk and Tom Brady who are able to relax this team because I think one of the best bets this week for me is Chiefs first quarter money line. Because I think Tampa Bay is going to come out a little bit tense because all these players are in a big situation, even though it's on their home field, it's a big situation. Tom Brady, as they probably do short passes and maybe not be able to execute in the red zone. And the Chiefs are going to come out strong. They were in the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl last year. It really is going to come down to that. So I think in the second half, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. And Tom Brady has six game-winning drives in Super Bowl history. So that's the most by far. The second most person has one or two, I believe two, of four game-winning drives in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady has six. Every single Super Bowl he's won, he has come from behind. And I think that shows how calm he is under pressure, how well he will be able to calm people down under pressure. And Gronk, again, has been in the Super Bowl four or five times. He's going to be the person to he's I that's actually a good point. As I'm thinking
Here,
about
I
this.
just want to clarify one thing on that coming from behind stat. And this is coming from a Patriots fan. We had absolutely no business in winning that Seahawks Super Bowl. Just I
No,
just need to say that because
absolutely not.
that's something that I always think. We should never have won that Super Bowl.
But I think Tom Brady is an important aspect of this game. But I actually believe, and this might be a hot take, is Gronkowski going to be the most important player for Tampa Bay morale?
I'm thinking probably.
Probably yes, because he's been in this situation. He will be able to hopefully calm everybody down. Gronk has such a big personality. He's such a big, lovable guy. He's hilarious. He'll be able, if that locker room's stressed, he's going to be able to kind of get the team together. We all discount Gronkowski that he's this wild, crazy guy going on cruises, supermodel wife.
Is he married? I thought he was the only girlfriend.
Married. I'll look it up.
Doesn't really matter. I'm just curious. But it's yes, either way.
After the break, I think that Gronkowski is going to be the most important player. Because he's been in this position before. He knows what to do and he will be able to calm everybody down and kind of get everybody in a rhythm. Whether Gronk gets catches or not is irrelevant, but I think he will be
So,
best for morale.
So I think those are some good points. I'm going to save some talk for our Super Bowl only episode later in the week because there are a couple more headlines up for the NFL I want to get into today, especially revolving around the trading world. Because Saturday night, we had a big, big trade go down.
Does that make the Rams a Super Bowl contender?
I think that makes the Rams the Super Bowl contender in the West. Because here's the thing is, I love Jared Goff. I'm a big Jared Goff guy. I give staff – I think that he's good and will be very good in Detroit or wherever he ends up. I think he needed to get out of that situation. I still think Stafford is better today. And I think this will make them a much better team, especially with how good that defense has been over the past couple of years.
Stafford's more of a deep ball threat. And I don't think Stafford's never had a great defense behind him. He's always been able to put up points, but never had the defense along with – so he's going to have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey to kind of like stuff at least a little bit. And obviously not playing in Detroit could help anybody's morale. I think Jared Goff – this is a hot take. Tell me if I'm wrong. Jared Goff, once his contract's done, he's either going to be a backup or he retires. I don't think he's going to –
I actually have a hotter take than that. Jared Goff is going to be a starting quarterback of the New England Patriots by next season.
You think so?
Oh, I think so, and I want – if we're not going to draft one, I want it. I'm telling you, I think Goff is still going to be very, very good. I think he needs to be in the right situation, and I don't think that was in L.A. I love Sean McVay as a coach, but they had a history of giving offensive players big contracts. And then after one mediocre season saying, fuck you, get out of here. They did it with Cooks. They did it with Todd Gurley. And they now did it with Jared Goff. And I think that is not a situation that would be good for a young quarterback like Goff.
I can agree with that.
That's my one knock on Sean McVay is they are way too quick to pay someone a lot of money and then be like, no, get out of here.
Because you expect improvement every single year. And that one moment when it regresses, they're like, no, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, get out of here.
Exactly. And then, so the next thing I was going to say on this is, if your price tag is Jared Goff, who's at least a good quarterback, I think we can both agree on that. He's good enough to be on rosters. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, of course.
If your price tag is Jared Goff and two firsts, what the hell is Deshaun Watson going to go for, man?
I don't think Deshaun Watson goes anywhere. I think
he's not playing another snap for Houston. He will not play for this team, man.
A lot of people have been absolutely shitting on him for requesting a trade. Like he's got this boatload. He is the franchise quarterback for the Houston Texans. I know he requested a trade. He didn't demand it. He never said the words, "I'm not playing for this team anymore. Trade me."
I think that's the message that's coming across though. Is it's get me out of here. I think there's going to be a lot of that. Apparently, there are rumors that Watt wants out of Houston now, man. I don't think many people are going to be staying on that team.
Is Deshaun Watson low-key a diva?
Probably.
I think he low-key might be a diva. And he's this great quarterback. We all love him. And he's just so good. But – I guess he has lost his weapons, but he's saying that the fact that he lost his weapons doesn't mean he's going to get any more.
And so I would call him a diva for being mad about not getting a say in the GM search, because just flat out, that's over 90% of the players in the NFL's heads. 90% of them, with the exception of maybe Tom Brady and Mahomes, like, shouldn't have a say in the GM. But I do get him being mad about trading away DeAndre Hopkins for so little and then being mad about the head coaching hire-ups. I mean, again, history has shown this guy sucks. So yeah, it's not a good hire for a quarterback like Watson. Again, he's the only team in history to not have a wide receiver catch a touchdown for a season. That's not a good thing.
That's kind of funny. Yeah. I have no idea. Where do you think he ends up? Do you think he ends up in New York? Do you think he ends up in Jacksonville? Where do you think?
I'm going to give you my top four teams.
Maybe the
in
Eagles.
Order.
Maybe the Eagles.
Because I think there are only a few. So first of all, I don't think Jackson's going to do it because you can't pass up Trevor Lawrence if you're Jacksonville. I think he will end
the
up
potential
either,
that he has, yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll either end up as quarterback of the New York Jets, I think he'll end up as quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. And then those are the two most likely. And then the two long shots are Chicago Bears finally riding away what they should have picked.
Maybe,
And then
yeah.
again, this might be a little homer, but if the rumor I've heard, I wouldn't be surprised if they took this trade, the New England Patriots. There's been reports, obviously it's nothing confirmed, it's all hearsay rumors from none of the big guys, that there's an offer out there of multiple draft picks and Stephon Gilmore.
Do you think that would go? Like, do you think that would be like a big thing? Like, what are you thinking?
I think it depends on what the picks were because this person isn't specific. But if you get stuff in, if Stephon Gilmore agrees this to an extension, I think you take it. Because, I mean, Stephon Gilmore is arguably a top two or three corner in the league. So if you can lock him up for long term and you get multiple picks, I don't think it's a bad move for the Texans at all.
Interesting.
Stephon Gilmore, and again, I would love for him to stay in New England, but at the end of the day, J.C. Jackson was one of the leaders in picks this year. So, in much cheaper, Bill likes the cheaper options. Stephon Gilmore is gone, so you might as well try to flip him.
Bill Belichick is what everybody hopes to be as like a budgeter, as like budgeting certain things.
No, Bill Belichick is what every fantasy owner thinks they are. Like, oh, I'm going to pull off these harebrained schemes, pick up the guy no one is thinking about,
I'm gonna pull
but it
off
actually
so
works for
many
Bill
trades.
Belichick. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's
So
funny. I agree with that.
I think it's enough NFL for now. Before we go into our brief break, I want to do a short ATP section because we got a cup.
I watched some last night.
So did I. So we got the ATP Cup going on right now, which is Garbage Davis Cup, along with two small tournaments. And my takeaway right now is, man, Novak Djokovic is a dick.
Don't remind me. He's such a dick. He started like he was screaming on the court. First off, I think a point that you made earlier off air. The ATP Cup matters. Like
So like,
it's worth actual points.
yeah, so it's Davis Cup with me. It's garbage Davis Cup with meaning. So for those of you who don't know, Davis Cup is the Professional Tennis Tour's men's version of the World Cup, where it's a country versus country pride thing. And then last year they came up with a second version of it called the ATP Cup. But the difference is only a few less countries qualify. And it's 1 week before the first major of the year, and it affects their rankings.
And well, because if you, it's not like you have too many ranking points to lose. Because if you weren't in it last year, that sucks. But if you do really well, if you, so like Matteo Berrettini, yesterday won a very big singles match against Dominic Thiem, and then also won doubles with Fabio Fognini.
So I was going to step farther in that match for what really affects it. Number 17 in the world, Fabio Fognini, lost to number 100 in the world, Denis Novak. That's a huge win for Novak for points and for confidence going into the Australian Open.
Well, okay, yes, but I think that's a huge win. But I think contrary to that, I don't think that's a huge loss for Fognini. Fognini might not give a shit. Fognini might just be playing to
But
get his.
no. Fognini was talking shit about how it matters, how he cares, and how he wants to do his country pride, and then he got killed.
It wasn't really that close, was it? I forget what the score was.
I think it was either 3-3 or 3-2.
That's bad. That's rough. Especially if you had money on
Cough, cough, me.
it.
So, and then other than that, I mean, we're gearing up to Australian Open. So you have all these players playing in the tune-ups before it. And my question is, who the hell is playing in the Australian Open? Because I can't figure out who's in and who's not since they haven't released a draw yet. Because you have some random-ass people playing in these tournaments who I wouldn't picture would fly to Australia and do the quarantine if they weren't playing in the Australian Open.
You know who is playing?
Who got in?
Nick Kyrgios.
Nick Motherfucking Kyrgios, our
Nick,
boy.
apparently Nick Kyrgios has his head straight. I don't know if you saw
No,
that. Nick Kyrgios has
he
his
doesn't.
head,
He never does.
apparently has his head like straighter, more than absolutely a 90-degree angled knot. So that's a big deal.
He called tennis boring like a week ago. How does he have his head straight?
Well, apparently, well, he took a long time off. So, like, apparently, quarantine helped him kind of get his head straight, kind of get his priorities straight, which is important. That's called maturity.
Here's the thing is,
I haven't hit that yet.
I've always called Nick Kyrgios the better version of Ernest or an Ernest Gulbis with actual talent. Nick Kyrgios is a very talented player, but never had his head straight, just like Ernest Gulbis did about 5 years
Ernest
ago.
Gulbis is
These guys
just
are
rich.
lunatics.
Ernest
Well, yeah,
Gulbis
he's
is
just
just
rich and didn't give
rich.
a fuck.
Yeah.
He was talking about flying private while these other guys were playing like coach to these
Because
tournaments.
his dad like runs the entire country of Lithuania or
Yeah, pretty
something.
much.
But actually, so before we go to commercial break, so you know, I did see Eugenie Bouchard at Lifetime when I was in Vegas for visiting family.
Interesting. So she's not playing.
So she, well, actually, so yeah, so I was at a gym and that had tennis courts. My dad and I were hitting, and two courts down, I see a girl who wearing all Nike hitting the snot out of the ball, and I know Eugenie lives in Vegas, and I'm like, oh, is that Eugenie Bouchard? And it's like, yeah, and I was looking at her, and I kind of like I didn't want to look because, like, what if she saw me playing really bad? I'm like, oh crap, I'm gonna embarrass myself in front of Eugenie Bouchard. So she's a really interesting tennis story because she was so good for such a small amount of time. Like she got up to number five
And
in the world
attractive.
and then fell off. Interesting because when I was watching her, I was watching on water breaks and whatever, and she was sitting with one of the coaches in Vegas. She's not that good.
There's a reason she's there, not quarantining
Well,
in
she
Australia.
lost in Dubai for Australian Open qualifying. But I saw her and A, she's gorgeous. She's still gorgeous from 60 feet away. That's just what happens. But that's why she's a model and not really a model and tennis player anymore. But what I saw from her game is she's very one dimensional. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is that she was only hitting hard. And she tried some slices, and let me tell you, her slices were crap. Her slices were crap. Like for somebody who was that good, and is so famous and so popular, she was awful. All she does was want to hit hard. And like, okay, that's good for a little bit, but it really showed a lot. And it was interesting, kind of like analyzing her strokes and like seeing what's going on. But it was really interesting. That's kind of my like big point that I saw is like she's so popular, so famous, but overall, I feel like in order to be great at tennis, you have to be able to mix up your game, and if you're hitting super hard and maybe you're missing some, then that becomes a huge deal.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you see some people can survive with it just hitting hard and getting lucky, but Eugenie Bouchard is not one of those people.
Exactly. So Frank, you want to take a little break and get back into the next segment with starting. What do you want to start the next segment? You can choose.
I think we go some NBA. We got a packed second segment just with a lot of good stuff, including my rant, a big rant plan for you guys.
All right, boys and girls and people and everybody, whoever's watching, there's probably like two people.
And we're back. So, first of all, listeners, I gotta say something to you. If you're hearing random noises coming from my end, that's because I'm playing with the shaft of the golf club I broke yesterday because it's really, really fun.
Oh God, how did you play yesterday?
Horrible. But that's not what we're talking about. I just wanted to explain the random tapping noises. So, I think we should talk a little NBA because I got some hot takes.
Well, actually, there is some breaking news outside the sports world right now that I just got a notification for.
What's going on?
Jeff Bezos stepped down as Amazon CEO.
What? Why?
Yeah. I have no idea. I didn't read the story. I didn't have time, but apparently that's going to be big developing news coming in in the world, in the next few days. So that's going to be very interesting.
That's interesting. Well, interesting. I don't even know how to process that. Too bad it wasn't Roger
Like,
Goodell.
yeah. Yeah, I wish it was the same with Roger Goodell.
All right. So my first take for the NFBA, I'm going to start with this. There's a clear two best teams right now. It's the Lakers and the Nets. But I think that if the Celtics are fully healthy, they can beat the Nets. The problem is they're never fully healthy. You have Kemba out for the first 2 months of the season, comes back, they start gelling together. Oh, Tatum has COVID. So now Tatum isn't playing. And Tatum comes back. Oh, now Marcus Smart is hurt. The problem is they are a good team if all their four stars are healthy. They just haven't been healthy.
Well, I think let's not forget about the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz are playing great basketball right now. They were on a 11-game winning streak?
Yeah, I think the problem is the Utah Jazz are a gambler's best friend because they're great at covering the spread.
Because they're murdering everybody.
Yeah, I don't think they're good enough. I don't think they're as good of a team as, say, the Lakers, the Clippers, some of the other teams out West. And I think
it'll be interesting to see how they do as the season progresses. You know, we're the number one Suns podcast in Indiana. We talk about that all the time. I'm glad they're kind of getting back on schedule. They've won their last couple games. That's really important. I'm looking, and are there any teams that are surprising you right now? That are like, whether it's positively or negatively.
That are positively surprising me. Let me think about that for a second. Because again, I've talked about who I think the best three teams are. I think the Bucks are surprising me a little bit negatively. Because I mean, they're 12-8. They should be the best team in the East. Behind the Nets. The Sixers are surprising with how they're performing. And I mean, again, I think the Celtics are a surprise because they're sitting there 10-8 as the four seed right now, and they haven't had their core together for very many games.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Tatum has played, I think, three games with Kemba Walker, and then from when he had COVID and Kemba came back. And then that was when all four of them together. And then Smart got hurt the other night and is out for 2 to 3 weeks.
I think one team that's kind of surprising me, at least positively, is LaMelo Ball.
I like how you call him a team and you say it's only LaMelo.
Well, I mean, yeah. So LaMelo's averaging 12, 6, and 6. I think that's actually kind of impressive for a rookie, and a lot of people didn't have high expectations for him. Those six assists are tied for 18th best in the league. That's actually really good. I'm impressed with him. Just coming out and be able to gel with the team. I think he might, as he matures a little bit, so whether it's the end of this year or the start of next year, I think we could see the Hornets continue to improve as a team.
Yeah, that's not unreasonable.
And then obviously the Heat coming from the finals, they decided to not care this year, apparently, or maybe they were only good in the bubble.
But the Heat let's be honest here. The Heat did go on a great run last year. On paper, they were not the best team though, from the
No, absolutely not. They shouldn't have never beaten the Bucks. Well, the Bucks were kind of hurt and whatever, but, so are playoff matchups right now in the West, like if the season ended today, would it be Sixers?
So it's Sixers, Hornets, Bucks, Cavs, Nets, Hawks, Celtics, Pacers. And I mean, if as a Celtic fan, that is a great draw. That's a great bracket for us. We would easily go to the Eastern Conference Finals if we're healthy with that bracket.
So what you have you have the Pacers and then you have the Sixers probably, and then you're playing most likely the Nets. And the Nets are so weird because they're over unders for they just don't play defense because they know they're going to score 150 points.
They don't need to play defense though, right?
You don't need to play defense. They can literally go to bed. You know how much they've scored in their past what a couple games.
So in their past three games,
they have scored 146, 147, and 132.
Oh, it goes farther back than that, Daniel. Since January 3rd, 122, 130, 122, 110, 116, 122, 116, 122.
Okay, I have a very interesting question to ask you.
Good.
If the Nets actually gave a fuck, like if they truly, truly, truly gave a fuck, could they score 200 points in the game?
Yes, I think they honestly could.
I even if I want to actually look, NBA 200
So
points.
it has, here's the way it has to work though, because you have to assume that they're going to play their usual shitty defense, which means giving up quick shots and a lot of points. So if you go under that assumption and you think they care for every minute of the game on offense, then they can put up 200. But if they start trying to play defense and slow it down, they won't get anywhere close because that's not their identity.
I
Their
think
identity
if
is a
they,
quick offensive team who will beat you 170 to 150.
I think if the Nets end up going to overtime, so if a team is just absolutely draining shots offensively, then if they go to overtime or two, those overtime, those 5 minute overtime periods could eventually push them over the top to 200, because the most points scored in a game is 186, in an NBA game, 186 points.
Who scored that?
So the Detroit Pistons in 1983.
Interesting.
So I believe that if the Brooklyn Nets stay together for the next few years, they could eventually, oh, they could easily beat that record. If they're scoring 150 in normal time, like in like regulation, oh my God, yes, they're gonna drop 200.
Yeah. So I think the next question to ask is, who is the worst team in the area now?
Is that even a question?
Yes, it is, because who I thought it was just fucking went and beat someone good last week.
I'm gonna say I think it's the Pistons. I think the Pistons are god awful.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Pistons too, and then last week they try to be good for once and beat the fucking Lakers by 15.
Jesus Christ. Because well, that game wasn't even close. Like
Yeah.
that throughout the entire game, I'm gonna go look for that game right now. As I remember, that game was kind of just out of reach the entire time. Kyle Kuzma was the highest scoring Laker with 22 points. So I guess it was close, but in the fourth quarter, the Lakers scored 14 points.
It was ridiculous.
I want to see who did people actually play, or did people kind of give up? I'm looking.
I think
Full
people
box
either
score.
didn't play or give up. It doesn't matter that Lakers roster without LeBron and AD is still better than the fucking Pistons, dude.
LeBron James played 36 minutes. AD did not play. Kyle Kuzma got 22 points. LeBron got 22. Marc Gasol played 25 minutes and got 0 points. Jesus. Montrezl Harrell played 23 minutes. Alex Caruso played 20. Okay. They were kind of just saying, we don't really want to play this game right now. I feel like they were kind of bored.
Maybe you still shouldn't lose to the Pistons by 15.
You still shouldn't lose to anybody by 15 in the NBA, regardless of if it's the Pistons or not. Okay, so what about the Timberwolves? I feel like they are. I feel like they're kind of rebuilding. I'm surprised
They
that
are
the Jazz.
rebuilding, but they're still garbage.
I think they're just. They've never been good. I've never thought of the Timberwolves and thought of them, oh wow, they're actually going to be really great this year. Let me look. Timberwolves season records. This is going to be interesting. Franchise index. Let's see. They are 985 and 1511. Their franchise winning percentage is 0.39.
It's pretty good, dude. What are you talking about? Pretty good.
So their last 3 seasons have been, oh my gosh, the last time they got higher than fourth in their division was 2013. They got third, and they won the last time they won their division, which is the Western Conference North or whatever, was 2003. That's when Kevin Garnett was on the team.
Jesus.
That is ugly. And then
No.
win the division. They just it was one of seven. They lost in the conference finals. Wow, they were actually pretty good.
That's
yeah,
such a long
they
time
lost in the
ago.
conference finals. Yeah, they went 58-24, and then it's just been downhill since then. I feel so bad.
That
but
is
yeah,
kind of garbage. Not
but
gonna
they've been
lie.
horrible. They've just been horrible. I guess they made the playoffs in 2018 with a 47-35 record, but lost in the first round. In their what is that? About 32-year history, they have made the playoffs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. So they make the playoffs.
No one said they're good.
They make the playoffs less than 30% of the time, which is horrid. That is horrible.
All right. I think that's enough. I think that's enough NBA and shitting on teams. I think we should talk to some NCAA and show them some college kids because that's more fun.
I love shitting on college kids. That's what I do.
So this needs to be said right away. On Saturday, we saw maybe one of the biggest choke jobs I've ever seen in sports.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
LSU, Texas Tech. Oh, my God. Okay, so for those of you who don't know what happened in this game, I'm going to paint a picture for you. With 1 minute left, Texas Tech's Matt McClung hit a jumper to make it a 67-71 LSU lead. Okay? So he cut their lead down to 4. Here's how the rest of the game went. Texas Tech foul. LSU missed free throw. Texas missed three-pointer, rebound, three-pointer. Now it's a one-point game. LSU turns it over on the inbounds pass, and Texas Tech gets a fast break layup. So now by 1 with 29 seconds left. LSU misses a jumper, has to foul. Texas Tech hits both free throws. So now LSU shoots another three-pointer, misses again. Texas Tech hits another 2 free throws, driven by 5, and cover the spread.
That is bad.
It's fucking ridiculous.
That is bad.
How LSU choked that much. They gave up 9 points in a minute and didn't score.
When are we going to admit that Mac McClung is really good at basketball? And
oh,
he isn't just like a meme.
I don't need to admit it. He is good at basketball.
He's so good. Like, he is so good.
He's a very good player. I didn't even know that was a meme. I thought everyone just thought, yeah, this kid's talented.
No, Mac McClung was a meme. He was all he did and went before he committed to Georgetown a few years ago. He was a meme because all he had was like super hops and all his highlights were just dunk highlights. I don't think people really realized that he was an actual baller, and he's completely shattering that. I think it was a good move to transfer.
Yes, I don't know why people thought he wasn't.
I think people were uncertain. I think people were kind of confused about him because they didn't know what to expect. I don't know. It's interesting.
So then another storyline I want to talk about from Saturday is Alabama-Oklahoma. Tough game for Alabama. They struggled a lot and they lost.
Oklahoma came out, though.
Yeah, Oklahoma was on a great hot streak. They got up to number 9 in the country. They shot up from number 24 to number 9 in the country before they lost last night.
To Mac McClung and the
Texas,
Texas Tech.
And Texas Tech is back in the top 10.
They might be able to – Texas Tech – well, we always forget that Texas Tech is the reigning NCAA tournament runner-up. They can ball. They have a good chance of getting back there. Because if they get hot, all they have is shooters and defense. And I think that's how you win basketball games, is shooters and defense.
Yeah. And I mean, so right now they're sitting at 5-4 in the Big 12, which isn't good, but they're 13-5 overall. You know, they're in a good position still to be a good team. They're winning the games they have to. They'll get into the tournament as probably like a 4 or 5 seed.
You know, but you know who's underrated and who just made it to the top 25?
I know who you're talking about, but I don't want to spoil it.
Drake.
And Drake is kind of like that team that no one thinks about. Even I was like, what the fuck? Why is Drake here?
They were down 14 with 5 minutes left against Illinois State on – I forget what it was, Saturday or
I think it was
maybe
Sunday.
it was Sunday. They came back to win and they covered.
No, they didn't cover. That's the only game of the season they didn't cover.
Oh, that's right. Wait, so they covered every single goal? Sorry for that.
Until that Illinois State game that went to overtime, they had covered every other game, I think.
That is so funny. Their closest game, so they, okay, that's right. I'm looking at it right now. They beat Illinois State by, oh, and then the next day they beat them by 35.
Yeah, they killed him last night.
Wait, no, I think you might be wrong there. I'm not sure.
Okay, my friend told
Oh,
me
you're
that, so
right.
he.
You're right. You're right. Because I saw they won by 5 against Missouri State, and I'm like, that's for an undefeated team to be favored by 4.
But you gotta remember, this is Drake. It's not like it's a ban. It's not like it's LSU or not LSU. It's not football. It's like it's Baylor playing them.
You know who's really bad at basketball?
Creighton.
Chicago State.
Yeah, Anchorage. No,
They
you know who's.
canceled their entire season. They had lost every game by more than 20 points, and they just canceled their season. They're like,
You
we're
know who's
done.
really, really bad at basketball?
Creighton.
Mississippi Valley State.
Oh, they're still so good.
Dude, they covered a spread last night.
Oh, really? Against who?
Grambling. But on
How much?
so on Saturday, we bet on them. The spread was Jackson State minus 25. They lost by 50.
They're so bad. They're
They
so
lost by
bad.
50 to Jackson State. Arkansas, again, this is my favorite thing to look at is their schedule. Arkansas beat them by 80.
I miss Justin Smith.
Arkansas beat them by 80.
Jesus Christ. I loved them so much. I swear I could make their team.
Justin Smith scored 13 points in 20 minutes of that game.
I think he's been playing. I'm proud of him.
Probably.
Because
That was so.
I've met him a few times. He's like a cool dude. He was in one of my classes, but I'm sad he left
So.
because I feel like IU might need him. IU's gonna get railed by Illinois
Oh,
today.
yeah, we're gonna get our ass kicked. We suck.
We're
But
gonna get our asses murdered.
the big game tonight is Texas Baylor.
Texas Baylor.
Baylor.
We're gonna see how. I think Baylor's gonna take that, but I don't know what the spread is.
It's 5.5 according to ESPN.
Interesting. I think Baylor might cover that.
Dude, there's some good matchups this week besides that. I was looking ahead. But sorry, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah, Baylor's going to cover. I think Baylor beats them by 7 tonight, is my prediction.
Respectful. We'll see how that is.
So then, if you look ahead for the week, kind of like I'm doing right now, on Thursday, we got another top 10 matchup in Ohio State, Iowa.
Ooh.
On Saturday, you got
Ooh.
Alabama, Missouri, which would be good. You got
Ooh.
Kansas, West Virginia. Kansas needs to win to stay in the top 25.
Kansas is. I didn't think Kansas was that bad at basketball, but they're just kind of getting eaten alive by the Big 12.
Kansas is really, really struggling.
Because they started out the season so hot. They started out beating Texas Tech, beating West Virginia. Then you lose to Texas, and then after that, and they beat Oklahoma too. We forget about that. They beat Oklahoma. And but they're kind of just falling. You can't lose to Tennessee by 19 on the road. Like
So
that is horrible.
I've gotten like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm looking like really, really far ahead in the schedules. How come no top 25 teams ever play on Fridays? Their first time there's a top 25 game on a Friday, based off this week's rankings, is the last Friday in February.
I mean, I guess the top 25 changes, but that's still really interesting. I don't think there are a lot of NCAA basketball games on Fridays to begin with.
There aren't, but still, you would think with the schedules, one would fall on a Friday.
Well, let me look. So Friday, on Friday, there's still a lot of games, but I think Fridays are more for the lesser teams. Like there's no Big 10, Big 12, whatever games. It's a lot
Whoa,
of
whoa, 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 whoa. Don't come at my schools like Akron, Maction, and also there is a Big Ten game on Friday.
Yes, Maryland and Penn State.
Powerhouses. What are you talking about,
Powerhouses,
man?
really. But that's the only Big Ten game. The other one is a classic between UTEP and UAB.
Excuse me, you're missing the biggest game of the season on Friday, the Battle for South Dakota. South Dakota versus South Dakota State.
Ooh, you're right. There's also Monmouth and Manhattan on ESPNU at 9 p.m.
Yeah,
Wait,
come on.
wait. Manhattan's in New York at 9 p.m. They're actually just going to be playing at nine. Oh, that's so funny. I love late basketball. I love
Dude,
it.
I
It's
love
so fun.
Hawaii. I love it when Hawaii plays home games in any sport because they're at like 2 in the morning on the East Coast. So you get back from the bars, you're chilling there, you're turning your TV, and you're like, holy shit, I still get to watch college football.
I still get to I don't I'm not gonna remember this game, but I'm so excited.
Freaking amazing.
Is UCSD a Division I school? Yes, UCSD
Hey,
is.
don't shit on the San Diego schools. We're the top dogs.
Yeah, I just didn't know UCSD. I know they were D2 before. I didn't know they moved up to D1. I'm proud of them.
Hey,
They are second to last place in the Big West, but that is still a dub.
the tiniest school my dad went to plays on Fridays. Fridays were for the GOAT teams.
Where'd your dad go?
Longwood.
Oh, the Lancers.
He played Division One basketball and tennis there.
Oh wow, that's a damn dad's athletic.
He is. He played with one NBA. There's actually one NBA player who's on his college team, Jerome Kersey.
I have no idea who that is.
He played a lot of his career. I mean, first of all, he weren't even alive for most of his time playing.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm gonna give his exact stats right now. He passed away a couple years ago,
Oh.
but he played until 2001. He played with the Blazers for 11 years from 84 to 95, and then went to the Warriors, Lakers, Supersonics, Spurs, and the
Damn.
Bucks.
Well, he played. I'm sure he got all that. That's impressive. That's actually really impressive to come from
He
Longwood.
was first time all he was first team all Mason Dixon in 1984. I love the Mason
Jesus.
Dixon line. The Mason Dixon Conference was an NCAA Division II conference from 1936 to 1978.
Jesus Christ. The
The
Mason
founding
Dixon
members were
Conference.
American University, the
Wow.
Catholic University of America,
Wow.
Gallaudet University. Hey,
Wow.
John Hopkins, Ralph Mason, University of Baltimore, University of Delaware,
Jesus Lord.
Washington College, and Western Maryland.
Lordy, holy Christ.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Oh
Just a little highlight of teams who were in this conference at different times. We have Loyola College, Mount St. Mary's,
my God.
Old Dominion,
Oh yes, of course.
St. John's.
So this is a big East Coast school. Okay.
This might be a different St. John. I don't know if it's the same St. John's.
It might be. It could be.
You have UMB, and then you have UMBC,
Oh
who
my
is the
gosh.
GOAT basketball program.
The GOAT basketball program. They went down in history. They can lose every game for the rest of their lives and still be good.
Yeah, it does not matter, man. They are going to be legends.
But I so we do have to wrap this episode up pretty quickly. So I hear you have a rant.
Okay, so I do have a rant about the MLB. So for those of you who don't know, as I like to say, last week the Hall of Fame was announced. And for only the third time in history, no one made the Hall of Fame in the MLB, which is
Which is
absolutely absurd.
absurd,
Yeah, you
because
have
you look at the people who are, because you have to get 80%, 75% of the votes.
75%. You have the best player of all time, one of the best pitchers of all time, and another one of the best pitchers of all time, and all three are getting in for non-baseball reasons, which is bullshit. So you, for Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, you have these people who are not letting them in because they're steroid users, which is okay. That's somewhat reasonable. But the problem I have
I
with it
actually
is,
don't agree with that because the Baseball Hall of Fame is a museum. And if it's a museum, you should highlight the good and the bad. I think you
well,
should
here's
say,
what I was
oh.
gonna say. If it's the players who are voting on and they say no steroid users, I'm okay with that. I'm not
Yeah.
okay with journalists saying no, because the problem is you have all these guys who made their money off Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, home run chase, Barry
Yeah.
Bonds setting the home run record, all steroid users. That's how these guys made their money in their name. And then you have these 14 assholes who left their ballot blank. interacting high and mighty above everyone for leaving their ballot blank. And it's
That's
bullshit.
so
And then
dumb.
here's what pisses me
You're
off
a
most of all.
voter. Just vote.
Here's what pisses me off most of all, though. Curt Schilling is getting absolutely fucked. So Curt Schilling is not being let in the Hall of Fame for a completely different reason. He's not getting let in the Hall of Fame because he's a douchebag, in which he's a huge asshole. He has said some very inappropriate things on his Twitter, Facebook, and he also supported the insurrection. All horrible things. But this is not the Hall of Very Good People. This is the Hall of Fame for a fucking sport, and Curt Schilling is a Hall of Fame baseball player. I don't care that he's an asshole because we're not judging his character. We're judging his baseball ability, and his baseball ability says he's a Hall of Famer.
His baseball ability says he's a fucking god.
Yeah, it's bullshit that these three great players are getting fucked. Thank God for the Veterans Committee, because at least these three will actually get to be in the Hall of Fame because of that. Oh, wait, I didn't tell you the thing that pissed me off the most. I can't remember the guy's name, but you have this guy on Twitter who went on this long rant, didn't vote for Barry Bonds, didn't vote for Roger Clemens, didn't vote for Curt Schilling. He goes, I am never going to vote for these three people. They're all three horrible people, disrespectful to the game of baseball, blah, 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 blah. He voted for someone accused of domestic violence.
Fuck
He's
you.
Saying being a Trump supporter is worse than beating a guy's wife.
Fuck you. What the
yeah.
hell?
That guy's a huge asshole.
I don't. Well, okay, first off, what is the Veterans Association?
So the Veterans Committee is a new thing that was founded, I think, either 1 or 2 years ago, that basically is a committee of players who gets to vote people into the Hall of Fame once their 10 years are up. So that way people like Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens,
so they
et cetera,
don't get
et cetera.
Absolutely screwed over.
Yeah, so these people who are getting absolutely fucked by baseball writers being a bunch of pricks don't get absolutely fucked out of the Hall of Fame because they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
I think baseball writers out of any sport are the most high and mighty.
No, they 100% are. That's not even a debate.
Because they cover this random sport that a lot of people don't necessarily care the most about, and I don't even know how they do it. Because like, what do you think they're smarter than everybody else because there's more numbers in baseball? I'm so confused about what makes these writers think they're so high and mighty.
Yeah, it's so bad.
I don't whatever, but so. I think if I ever go to Cooperstown, I would want to see Barry Bonds because he holds the most prestigious record in baseball.
Here's the things. Is there a problem with – should we have a problem with people taking steroids? Yes, we should have a problem
yeah.
with people taking steroids because it is cheating. But to only not elect the home run king because he allegedly took steroids? Come on, baseball.
Did he never admit it?
I don't think it's ever been admitted or proven with Bonds like it was with someone like A-Rod. But come
or
on.
Or like
man.
Mark McGwire or Sammy
yeah.
Sosa or something. I mean, he did get huge. He did get huge quickly.
I mean, okay, let's be real here. Did Barry Bonds take steroids? 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
100%. It's not.
But that allegedly thing is actually really important. That alleged, because it's not proven. He's like, are you 100% sure that you took steroids? I'm like, and obviously everybody knows it, but. Once he comes out and admits it, then that's a whole different story.
And there's a difference between him and, like, God, I can't remember who it was.
Is Sammy Sosa in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. Let me check real quick. So what I was about to say is there's a difference between someone like Barry Bonds, I think it was Golden Tate or some NFL player got busted because he was taking a, like a male fertility drug, and it was reported it, and it was a performance-enhancing drug, so he got suspended. It's like there's a
yeah.
huge – he self-reported. There's a huge difference between that. So Sammy Sosa is not in the Hall of Fame yet, but in the Veterans Committee will probably put it in.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just very interesting. I don't know. That is. I don't know. I've never really thought about it. I looked it up. I was at a bar and I saw I believe it was CBS Sports talking about Curt Schilling, and I didn't know why. And I saw that nobody was inducted in the Hall of Fame, and again, annoying. But I think it's interesting to hear your perspective as an avid baseball fan about why.
Not even as an avid baseball fan. It's a step farther. I'm an avid Red Sox fan. And Curt Schilling is an amazing baseball pitcher. No doubt a Hall of Famer in his talent. Yeah, he's a huge fucking asshole.
Yeah.
But this is MLB. We're not judging their character. And that's where we're wrong. Yeah, there's a character clause in the Hall of Fame, but There shouldn't be a character clause. This is not a hall of very good people. No one's going to complain if the Curt Schilling and his bloody sock game on the road to the 04 World Series are in the Hall of Fame. You're going to have more people complaining that he isn't in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's an asshole than if he was.
I guess we can talk about it more off air, but I believe that is all the time we got for today.
This is a good long episode. We're gonna come back in a few days. We're gonna give you a Super Bowl special where we're also gonna talk about the best and most random ass prop bets you can place.
Oh, I cannot wait. All
NFL,
right.
baby.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Japanese Podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I am here with my co-host, Frank Todd. Frank, do you have any last words?
Fuck baseball journalists.
That's all you need to know.